Hi, how's it going? So we're doing part three on this series that Dan had done, and actually it wasn't a part three until I gave Dan the outline, and he's like, oh, that's going to go perfect with what I was preaching on the last two Sundays. And it does. We're going to build on something, okay? So just think of each of these points as a small brick, and we're going to build them together and come to a conclusion at the end. And we're doing deeper story, and today's message is, what is my role in God's story? Right? God started this whole thing with nothing. He built the entire universe. I think it's very hard to combat that. You know, of course, everybody says there's a big bang, which kind of is the same thing without a God, really. But their argument for, like, no God is, yeah, it happened by itself, actually. God started this whole thing with nothing, and, you know, we were inserted into it as a role, and God said, be fruitful and multiply, and just let us go, you know what I mean? Like, we're on the earth now, and God's in charge, but what is our role in God's story in our life? Like, what do we have to do with everything that's going on? Like, we all know we can't change everything, you know? One person of us can't make a huge difference in a tidal wave of corruption and greed and the ugliness that is the world. So, you know, we're supposed to stand there and be strong and be mighty in the name of Jesus. I wish Jeremiah was here because he gave me a coin that shows, like, the armor of God, and it has all that in a coin. And that's what we're supposed to be, right? We're supposed to be strong, mighty warriors. Christian warriors standing against the tide with God's strength among us. But, like, what are we supposed to do with that? Where we go? Like, what is our role in God's story? So, dear Lord, I ask for your Holy Spirit. I ask you to guide us, to use us today so we could come up with a game plan, come up with an idea. We come up with something that is more of you in our life, Lord. So we ask for your presence today. We ask that you use us to reach others. We ask that you use us to reach inside of us, to grow into us a beautiful pearl that's worthy of the name of God. We thank you for everything you've given us. We thank you that we're grafted into your family, Lord. We're your children. And today we ask that you be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So God is always working in our life. Jeremiah 29, 11 and 12. I don't have it on the screen, so if you want to find it in your Bible. God has a plan for you, right? God has a plan for you in everything that you do, in spite of who you are, in spite of making wrong decisions in your life, in spite of other people putting rocks in your path. You know, everybody says the path to heaven is narrow, right? But, like, people throw stuff in your path, and you're like, you're not expecting it. People move. Friendships, you know, move on. People move into your life. In spite of you not listening to God, sometimes we make the wrong decisions in our lives. We've done things that we're not proud of. Right? I think we can all say there's one or two instances in my life that I was like, man, I wish that conversation had gone a little differently. I wish I would have said the right things. I wish I would have not, you know, replied in anger. All those things happen in our life, but God says he's always working in our life in spite of all the things that we've done in our life that are in our control, and in spite of all the things that we do in our life that are out of our control. Like, it's easy to place blame on somebody else, right? So how is God working? So Jeremiah 29 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." So that's what God has said. He said he has a plan for us. And it's like today, right now, all of you have a plan. Your plan was to come here on Sunday and listen to Dan preach, wasn't it? Like, our pastor is gone this week, and it's great that he says, in spite of everything, in spite of me not being here, I know that God can work through anybody. God, I'm an uneducated man. I never went to college. I run a truck stop. I like to tell jokes, like most men do. And God can work through me to have a message for you today. Something that says, I didn't waste my time on a Sunday morning coming to church. Now, I don't believe that anyway, because we had a great worship service. And Matthew says, and we talked about this, Ella, in Matthew, if you worship me, all these things will come to pass. You know what I mean? Worship is first. And I believe that's true on Sunday morning, too. Worship is the most important thing we can do. But God has a plan for you and me, despite all the things that we do, despite the wrong turns in our life, that GPS autocorrects, and God says, okay, so you did this for a while, now you're autocorrecting to this, but I still have a grand scheme for your life. So what is that? What is our role in that? If God's just going to do whatever he's going to do in your life anyway, no matter what you do, whether you, you know, come here on a Sunday, you go to work on Sunday because your boss made you to, or whatever you do something else, God still has a plan, right? So, like, what do I have to do about it? What if I just get up, put on my shoes, and just go to work, trudge through work, go home, and God's just going to do whatever he does, right? I don't believe that. So we're going to continue. We're working. That's my brick right there. God has a plan in your life in spite of all the wrong decisions you're doing. Brick number one says he has a plan for you. Brick number two, though, is a tough one. How low must you go before you turn and face God? We've all been there. We've all seen people there. We've all seen people at the bottom of the bottom, right? They've hit rock bottom. And they're just chiseling away to see if they can get it down any farther. Right? This is a pretty big community. Sioux City is big. We have people here in Sioux City that are at rock bottom right now. And they're finding every dime they could find in their pocket so they could buy something to get them a little bit lower. Aren't they? That's not a true. Isaiah 6, 9 through 10 says, go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise, they may see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. That's from Isaiah. Isaiah is known to be one of those prophets who is, like, I don't say the most prophetic, but he has the most, he prophesies about Jesus coming more than any other prophet in the Bible, right? Probably a prophet we turn to when we want to listen to somebody. And he says, make their ears dull and close their eyes. That's what he's praying to God for the Israelites. His people, his neighbors, his co-workers, the people that he should be preaching to turning to God, he says, make their eyes, close their eyes and make their ears dull. Why? What is this? Right? If God could just make your hearts callous today so you don't turn to him, what's the point of me trying to seek out God? What's the point of me talking to my neighbor who I know needs God? I've seen him kicking that lawnmower in the front yard. He's just madder than a wet hen. I don't know how mad that is, but it's mad. What's the point of me talking to that neighbor then if his heart is calloused? Right? The other point, the other time in the Bible they said he turned his heart callous was when what was Pharaoh, right? Pharaoh's heart turned calloused after every single one of those miracles. After every single one of the, they were miracles, but yes. He said, okay, fine, I'll let you go. He told Moses, take your people, and then he changed his mind, right? Right up till the 10th one, and then after the 10th one, he changed his mind again. And chased after him only to drown half his, you know, entire army in the sea, right? In the Red Sea. Why would God do that? Why would God turn somebody's hearts calloused? But I think God knows how low you have to go. And it's not up to you. Like, God knows who you are. He created you. God knows what point in your life you have to decide, I'm turning around. And not everybody has to go low. It's not a race to rock bottom. You can stop at any time. And yes, some people have to reach rock bottom. But it doesn't matter. God doesn't place you more important than the other person. You raised in church. I was raised in church my whole life. You know what I mean? That doesn't make me important than somebody who has reached rock bottom. In fact, honestly, I would say their story is probably more interesting. A little bit more grace, if you would, from God than it takes some other people. But it doesn't make them any more interesting. And I believe when we get to brick number three, it doesn't say that we should stop witnessing to somebody else because they've reached rock bottom. Because how are we to know? How are we to know when that point is in their life? Don't give up on them. Their rock bottom might be lower than yours. Their rock bottom might be higher than yours. But there's a place that we all go to when we have listened to part one. Part one. I don't know how to go back, but when you find out God is working in that person's life, they're still going to the same place we are, right? I don't think there's any wins or losses for how low you can go. Everyone's not a doubting Thomas. That doesn't make him any less of a disciple, does it? Thomas was there for everything. So was Judas. You know, 12 disciples, one of them said, I will not believe until I get to stick my fingers in his hands. Not all of us are doubting Thomas's. It doesn't say doubting Thomas isn't any less or greater than any of the other disciples. Right? Be okay being a doubting Thomas. Or if your friend's a doubting Thomas, it doesn't mean we don't speak to them. It doesn't mean we don't pray for them. That quickly gets on to part three. God is working in every aspect of your life. Dan was using this box illustration, and that's what I'm saying. God is working in every aspect of your life. Everything. So we have boxes, and I actually want to do this illustration for you today because it actually visual seems to help a little bit, right? I want to say that no matter what you think, no matter that God's got a great plan for you or not, how you get there matters. How you walk with God in that decision, in that plan, it matters. Because you cannot be an ambassador for God unless he is working through you in that plan of yours. So it doesn't matter the rocks that people put in your way. Doesn't matter the chasms you've got to skirt to get there. God, in your plan, with God working through you, it matters. I lost a piece of paper up here. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Oh, it's not up here. You got that Bible verse, honey?
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
So what does that say to you? That says God doesn't care that you've made a wrong decision, right? He can fix that. God doesn't care that you went on the wrong journey, that you took a while to get there, you went off path. You can still get there. So we have things in our lives. Look at the next screen because it has a whole bunch of Bible verses that I have written down. This has never happened to Dan, ever. So you ever feel like technology doesn't like you? It says Drew Anderson's sermon, PDF, but it doesn't open. because God has a different plan. My phone has a different plan. Thank you, honey. Sometimes in your plan, you just have to go to somebody else, and they'll see what God was trying to do. So Philippians 4:6, right? Don't be anxious about anything. But here's the thing. The things that God is doing in your plan, they seem so important to you and me, don't they? You know what I mean? The things in our lives, our jobs, our family, our friends, our church, they seem so important to you and me. But there's something more important, and that's the third brick we're going to build on, right? And that's God is working in every aspect of your life. So we have needs. We have boxes in our lives, right? Dan's been talking about boxes for a while. We have boxes in our lives. We have a big box that everybody sees. And I'm gonna spend a little bit of time building on this brick because I want you guys to all see it in an aspect that God has kind of been showing me this week and what I'm working on in my life, okay? So believe me, Dan's not perfect either, but like when I was asked to preach, I don't so much preach to you as I preach what God is doing in my life and what God is saying, this has to happen in your life because if not, then you're not doing the right things. You're not following my plan for your life, and you're missing out on the greater story that God could do for you because you've missed a small brick in your life that I was trying to put there in that wall. You ever seen a wall with just one brick missing? It's not a complete wall, is it? It's not as strong as that wall could be. So this is a big box in your life, and that's number one right there, Isaiah 40, needs. And I would say this is huge in all of our lives. This is our house, our family, our job, I would say church, all is our big box in our lives. It's the box everybody sees and knows. Hey, my name is Drew. What do? I work at a truck stop. What church do you go to? I go to Cross Point. Those are the things everybody asks in a very first conversation, I would say. Those are your big boxes, your needs in your life. Isaiah, why would it close once I opened it? Isaiah 6, 9 through 10 says, go and tell the people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people, I am so sorry. Okay, I don't have my scripture verses in here either. Isaiah is a very good one. You got it? Dave to the rescue. And honestly, you want to know, I was in such a hurry to get here today, make sure everything was on, make sure the message is on the screen. Yet the Bible is about 100 yards that way in the old truck. But it's okay. 40, 30 through 9. And 31. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen. And the same prophet that says, be calloused, the same prophet that said, shut their eyes, says, if you trust on the Lord, these things will be taken care of, right? If you trust on the Lord, you will soar like wings of eagles. That's beautiful. In spite of all the things that you're going to do wrong in your life, if you trust in the Lord, these things will be taken care of. Matthew also talks about the flowers of the field, right? They don't worry about what they're going to wear. The beasts of the field don't worry about what they're going to eat. In spite of yourself, God has a plan for all those big things in your life. Second one, ministry. I would say that's a little bit smaller box. And why do I say that's a smaller box? Because sometimes your ministry, people ask that this box get taken care of before I go to this box, don't we? A lot of times we want ourselves to be taken care of first. I will find a house. I will find a job. And then when I get to a community, I can find a church, and then I'll see what, you know, what they need in church. You know, do they need somebody to work with the kids? Do they need somebody in the nursery? What do they need? Let me get take care of my family and food on my plate first, and then I'll talk about ministry. And that's human nature, isn't it? There's nothing wrong with that. But I feel like there's also, one doesn't have to be in spite of the other, is all I'm saying here, okay? So if you go to Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, I've given up on my thing because my Bible app is faster. There it is. Your second box in your life might be smaller, and other people might not see it. So even though I have family in the top box, ministry, marriage, my neighbors, right? All those relationships that I have that I can work on the ministry of reconciliation with, the ministry of God's people with, aren't as big in my life, but they're more important. Does that make sense? The more you focus on others meeting Christ, the better off your little box of ministry will be. And that comes to the last box, the most important one, relationships. So I think relationships can be overlooked. I could be a great person. I take care of my house, my family. I go to work every single day, work 45 hours a week. I go to church every Sunday. I even tithe. Let me get my 10% in, right? I tell people that I'm a Christian. They judge me nonetheless. I keep moving. I talk to my neighbors. I treat them respectfully. I got the nicest grass on the block. Make sure my neighbor gets a little bit of extra sprinkler when I put it on. But if I do not have that relationship with God, this is the third box. None of this is built. I can fake these two right here. Relationship with God. My big point today is my small brick, my last brick in the wall is the relationship and the plans that God has for you and for me in our lives. The relationship is the only one we can't fake. The relationship is the one only God knows. And the relationship is the only part of that that he needs you to be an active participant in. I can't have a relationship with Naomi without me being an active participant in. We've seen marriages fail because of that very reason. It has to be two people. You and God have to have an intimate relationship every single day for that one to work. For that box to be, for the rest of your life to be built on that box, you have to have an intimate relationship with God. So how are you arranging the boxes of the story in your life? Just like this sermon didn't go 100% to plan, I was in my basement. It sounded a lot more smoother when I was reading right off the notes. And then one of my notes isn't here. And what happens? It gets derailed. But we get to the same part, right? God doesn't necessarily need you for every aspect of your life. The written word of God will take care of that for you. There's a whole examples in the Old Testament of people that have made wrong decisions. Way worse decisions than you or me are ever going to make. And God has reconciled them to him. So that at the end of everything, we will have a relationship with God. And in spite of the bad decisions in our lives, God is still working in them. In spite of us changing this or that, in spite of moving to a new town, if that's in your future, God is still working in your life. He's got a plan there too. Right? In spite of your neighbor leaving, in spite of I said that wrong thing to my coworker, in spite of other people's hearts being calloused, God wants to work through you in their life. A little bit of an example. This is how big boxes work and small boxes work. I need two volunteers. Nick and Jonathan, can you come up here? This is what happens when, Nick, you're going to be the important needs in our lives, right? This is my family. This is everything in my life that's important to me, right? As a person, this is how the world judges success and how big my house is, right? That house is important. This is what happens when my relationship with God stands behind my needs. Guess who can see them? Not everybody can see Jonathan, right? Not everybody can see the relationship I have with Jesus. Sure, if you come over here, oh, there's my relationship with Jesus. He can give you a big thumbs up from the outside behind you. But this is what happens when you move your relationship with Jesus to the front. Now God sees the world sees your successes through God. Now God says, you are an ambassador of me. And everything that you've done in life happens because your relationship with me makes it better. Go ahead and sit down. Thank you so much. Round of applause. See how, like, through the lens of God, everything in our life appears bigger and better and more aligned to his plan in your life. God is working in your life. God has a story that he wants to tell, and your role in that story, it's the divine genius that is God. Because everybody has said, he is the great Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega, right? Like, he is the opposites of everything. He created the entire world, and he wants to have an intimate relationship with you. At the same time, he's doing the same thing. He's telling a story in your life with you, and he's telling the same story with 7 billion other people. I have no idea why somebody else is sick, but when their needs, health can be in there too. This is a big one that people like blame God for, and this will be like my last point. But health sometimes comes down to, why didn't God do this or that? I God's in front. I thought I had him in my life, and now I'm walking around on a bum foot. Right, Ella? Why doesn't he just heal me immediately? We don't know how God is telling that story, and that's okay, because you're going through that story with God. God cares. Every single one of these, including health, has a date on it, doesn't it? It has an expiration date. Because these only last so long. Your ministry, I don't know a lot about heaven. I haven't been there yet. But I will tell you, there's not a lot of ministry or talking people into believing in God in heaven. There's not a lot of sharing God's miracles in heaven when God is directly there. There is an expiration date on your ministry. This relationship with God, that's eternity. God's telling your story through him, and you're going to be able to tell that story for all eternity, not because of the wrong decisions you made in your life or the right ones. You might make the best decision for you and your family right now. You've made that decision, and you're saying, I'm sticking with it, and it feels good, and I'm going to go with it, and I think it's God's plan. I'm doing it. That's great. But whether it's right or wrong, you miss the important part. It is God's plan. Every plan is God's plan. And I'm telling you right now, if you make a decision and you're like, I don't know if it's God's plan. What is God doing in my story? The closer your relationship with him, the more certain you will be of that. And I promise you this, if you weren't meant to walk out that door, then he would shut that door. If you weren't meant to go to that new place, he would shut that door and it wouldn't happen. So wherever you are right now, that's right here in Cross Point Church on a Sunday morning. You are meant to be here for whatever reason. For whatever day that Dan isn't here today, there's a message that says God wants to have an intimate relationship with you. Because everything you need in life is built off of that tiny little relationship with God. Those 20 minutes you spend in the morning, everything is so important. Work on it. Don't give up on that. Because those other things, you can screw those up. I could screw that relationship up with my neighbor. God will put somebody else in his life. I promise you, every single person in your life has more people working on them than you think they do. But right now, in this moment, God is working on your life. And part of working on your life is to do that ministry with that person, whether his heart is calloused or not. I have no idea how long their eyes have to be shut for them to realize they've made a decision in life. I don't know that. And some people never will. I do think some people are driving around in million-dollar yachts in the Caribbean because God's given up on them and says, have your fun now, because that's got an expiration date on it, doesn't it? Yachts in the Caribbean have an expiration date on them, and that's not where I want to be when I'm done with life. I want my big box to be flipped and my biggest box to be the one that gives me glory, because all this stuff has to give glory to the relationship that God has for us. That's it. I have all arranged the boxes of your story. Build that box at the bottom as your biggest box. And then the rest of your boxes will align with God. Because all these boxes should be the same size, shouldn't they? That's how a wall works. They should be the same size. But a lot of times we keep our God box the tiniest box in our lives. So, I thank you for coming. Let's pray.